but he was intrigued by the unexpected guest he had found waiting for him when he arrived. Duval, the Frenchman, haggard and frantic with impatience. Lieutenant Galil, calm and patient, and impressive in the uniform of the Istanbul Police Department. Galil introduced himself with perfect courtesy and explained that he had come with Monsieur Duval to ask for information which only Mr. Coughlin of the American College could possibly give. "I am afraid," said Lieutenant Galil wryly, "that you will think us mad, Mr. Coughlin." Duval drained his glass and said bitterly, "Surely I am mad. It cannot be otherwise." Coughlin raised sandy eyebrows at them. The Turkish lieutenant of police shrugged. "I think that what we wish to ask Mr. Coughlin is, have you by any chance been visiting the 13th century?" Coughlin smiled politely. Duval made an impatient gesture. "Pardon, Monsieur Coughlin, I apologize for our seeming insanity, but that is truly a serious question." This time, Coughlin grinned. "Then the answer's no, not lately. You evidently are aware that I teach physics at the college. My course turns out graduates who can make electrons jump through hoops, you might say. And the better students can stoop into the private lives of neutrons, but fourth dimension stuff? You refer to time travel, I believe. Well, that's out of my line." Lieutenant Galil sighed. He began to unwrap the bulky parcel that sat on his lap. A book appeared. It was large, more than 4 inches thick, and its pages were sheepskin. Its cover was heavy, ancient leather, so old that it was friable and inset in it with deeply carved ivory medallions. Coughlin recognized the style. They were Byzantine ivory carvings, somewhat battered, done in the manner of the days before Byzantium became successively Constantinople and Stamboul and Istanbul. "An early copy," observed Galil, "of a book called The Alexiad by the Princess Anna Komnena, from the 13th century I mentioned. Will you be so good to look at it, Mr. Coughlin?" He opened the volume very carefully and handed it to Coughlin. The thick, yellowed pages were covered with those graceless Greek characters which, without capitals or divisions between words or any punctuation or paragraphing, were the text of books when they had just ceased to be written on long strips and rolled up on sticks. Coughlin regarded it curiously. "Do you, by any chance, read Byzantine Greek?" asked the Turk, hopefully. Coughlin shook his head. The police lieutenant looked depressed. He began to turn pages while Coughlin held the book. The very first page stood up stiffly. There was brown, crackled adhesive around its edge, evidence that at some time it had been glued to the cover and lately had been freed. The top half of the formerly hidden sheet was now covered by a blank letterhead of the Istanbul Police Department, clipped in place by modern metal paper clips. On the uncovered part of the page, the bottom half, there were 5 brownish smudges that somehow looked familiar, 4 in a row and a larger one beneath them. Lieutenant Galil offered a pocket magnifying glass. "Will you examine?" he asked. Coughlin looked. After a moment, he raised his head. "There are fingerprints," he agreed. "What of it?" Lieutenant Galil drew a deep breath. "I'm about to say the absurd," he said ruefully. "But the book itself is of the 13th century, written and bound in Byzantium. In the Bibliothèque Nationale, Monsieur Duval observed that a leaf was glued tightly. He loosened it. He found those fingerprints and other writing." Coughlin said, "Most interesting," thinking that he should be leaving for his dinner engagement with Laurie and her father. "Of course," said the police officer. Monsieur Duval suspected a hoax. He had the ink examined chemically, then spectroscopically. But there could be no doubt. The fingerprints were placed there when the book was new. I repeat, there can be no doubt. Lieutenant Galil said resignedly, "The fingerprints are not remarkable, Mr. Coughlin. They are impossible. I assure you that considering their age alone, they are quite impossible. And that is so small, so trivial an impossibility compared to the rest. You see, Mr. Coughlin, those fingerprints are yours."